Yes, praise him, praise him. He's worthy of your praise. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Welcome to the house of the Lord on a beautiful Sunday morning. Before we get started, happy Mother's Day to all the beautiful mothers out there. Before I say anything else in my sermon that might step on toes, just happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. We are thankful for all our mothers. I'm thankful for mine as well. She might not be watching, but I'll let her know once I get out of service that happy Mother's Day and that I love you. Amen? Amen, amen. Well, as always, we do need your support, so feel free to give as you feel led to. Several ways to give, but we're going to go ahead and jump right into the word of the Lord this morning. So turn with me to the book of Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. As always, it is a privilege to be up here and to minister to God's people. During the week, just getting ready, praying, thinking through, you know, what the Lord would have me say. And I'm always studying and reading and just in the Word. And my wife knows that because she's always like, why are you on your phone not texting me? But I'm always, you know, typing notes and just in the Word of God. And the Lord laid this on my heart, Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 36. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he warns them that the end times will be like the days of Noah. People will be living their lives, doing whatever it is that they feel that they need to do, and they will not know when the coming of the Lord is. So verse 36 of Matthew chapter 24 says this, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the day of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And then in verse 44, Jesus says this, therefore, based on all of this, based on the fact that no man will know the hour, time, or place, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Amen. Father, we just thank you for service this morning. We ask that your Holy Spirit fill this room. We ask that you just take over, Lord, and you do what you do best, which is to feed your people. Father, we are living in the end times, and we need truth. We need life, Lord. Give us your wisdom this morning. Help us to know how to be ready in the end times. Help us not to just say that we're ready, but help us to actually do those things that you've called us to do. Amen. Amen. So in Matthew 24, once again, Jesus is telling his disciples, be ready, for in the end times, many will be doing what they feel they need to do, working, sleeping, playing, having fun, and suddenly the Son of Man, which is Jesus, will come. So be ready. But the question is, what exactly does be ready mean? What does Jesus mean when he says, be ready? Does he mean simply say the Lord's Prayer and you're saved and you're good to go? And, you know, I guess you live your life as you want to, but you know what? I said that prayer one time, so I'm ready. No, Jesus is talking about something much deeper here. And here's the truth about this is that many churches won't preach this because it interferes with their own mission. See, Jesus said that people will be getting married, they will be partying, they will be having families, which aren't bad things. Having a family and getting married, all good things. But Jesus is trying to say that those things, in comparison to what is coming, one of them weighs more. So let's take a look at the days of Noah. Because sometimes all we think about is, well, you know, Noah, flood, ark. But we don't really stop and think what was happening in the days of Noah. So turn to me to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. And it reads, "Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, all who they chose." So in Genesis 6, verse 1 and 2, we see that man was living their own life. Man was growing. Things were happening. They were living in a good economy. People had the freedom of choice to choose who they wanted to be with. People had the freedom to see somebody and say, you know what? I don't care what God wants. I want that. And it says this, that the women were beautiful. So they lived in a good land, beautiful woman, and freedom of choice. But in verse 3, it says this, "And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he indeed is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So while in the natural, it looked like man was growing and growing and getting better and better, in the spirit, God said no. See, flesh was rising, but the spirit was decreasing. See, when flesh begins to rise, when we begin to grow and think that, well, you know what? I have it figured out. I'm going to chase money. I'm going to chase fame. I'm going to chase pleasure. I'm going to chase all of these things that are flesh. We see here that the Holy Spirit was not pleased. And judgment happened right there in verse 3, but nobody knew it. See, they were living their lives doing what they thought was right in their own eyes, not knowing that there is a God that is watching, that there is a God that is searching the hearts of men to see who is true and who is not. So in verse 4, it says this, "There were giants in earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bear children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown." So there's a lot in that text, but the simple version is this. Just like they had physical giants in their day, we have giants in our day. We have the wealthy. We have the billionaires, we have tech, we have all of these giants, all of these people who are seen as the modern day giants of our day. And it says this, that the sons of God came into the daughters of men. So the fallen angels of that day went into the daughters of men. So they also had illegal unions, which of course we have in our day too. Man with man, woman with woman. So just like it was in the days of Noah, it is now. We see here that Jesus wasn't just saying, just be ready. Jesus was saying, examine the people of that day and figure out what they were doing and figure out what God was doing. So in verse 5, it says this, "And the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So man saw beauty. Man saw, yes, let's go get the money. Let's go chase after this. Let's go do all these things that look right. But the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great. He was looking at the hearts of men. And it says that every thought, everything they watched on Netflix, everything that they did when nobody was looking, every place that they spent their money, everything that they actually thought in their mind and heart, it was evil. There was none that was good. But in the flesh, men looked like they were thriving. Man looked like, yeah, surely we can go to Mars and we can go to space and we can do all these great things. But the Lord was saying, I'm not pleased. I'm not pleased. See, we can judge by what we see, and we often do. But the truth is that man can be impressed with outward greatness, but God searches the hearts of men. And in verse 6, it says this, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Verse 7, so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. So it is easy to look at the days of Noah and say, surely I see how they were a very perverse culture. And we see that in our day too. It's easy to find the speck in someone's eye, right? It's easy to look and say, yeah, surely, you know, those sinners out there are evil. And Noah's day, they had that same thing too. But Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 was talking to the believer. He was saying, you be ready. So just because we can see the sin in the world doesn't mean that we are ready. See, many of us think that we're ready because we know how our neighbors sins. But what about you? So Jesus is saying here, be ready. It doesn't mean be an expert on what the world is doing wrong. It means, no, you be ready. So in verse 8, it says this, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So in the midst of a perverse world, there was one man named Noah, who we know, and it says that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So sometimes when we think about finding something, right, if we find it, we want people to praise us. Oh, I found ABCD. But that word there, found, doesn't mean that he found it. It means that Noah obtained, he received grace from the Lord. So Noah did not find salvation. See, we often think about this as, oh, Noah was saved because of the ark. No, it says Noah found grace. Noah did not find an ark that was built. He found grace. That grace led to that ark. But oftentimes we think, oh, well, you know what? I just have to believe and I'm saved. Yes, that's true. But that grace that you've been saved into is meant for you to walk in it. So we see here that it says that Noah found grace. But to truly understand what Noah found and how that changed his life, we need to look at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. So Jesus once again is telling his disciples, be ready. Be ready, because just as it is in your day, so it was in the days of Noah. And there was only one man in that day that was ready. So wisdom says, let's look at his life and figure out what exactly did Noah do? How exactly was Noah ready? And in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says this, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his family, of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So as we know, Paul was a very smart man. So there's so much in that verse. Paul first says that Noah was divinely warned of things not seen. Now, we tend to read past that, but think about it this way. Noah actually had to believe that the word of God was divine. Many times we can read the Bible and we read it as, this is just a book to help me be better. No, the word of God is divine. See, you do not obey what you don't think is divine. Unless you truly do believe that this God who sits in heaven and knows all and made all left you this book to get to know him better, you will not read it. You will not study it. You will not build your life around it. So Noah first had to believe that the word of God was divine. Because being ready starts with first how we see the word of God. Being ready means that we actually do have to believe that the Bible is the word of God. And the trick is this, is that the devil will often come up with some new science, some new expert in the world that says, well, we've studied this and technically the Bible didn't say man can't lie with man. It says this. And no, you have to believe that the Bible is divine, because if you don't, something, somewhere, somebody will make you back up on that stance that you should have. So Noah first believed that the word of God was divine. And I know that in the coming days, they're going to tell us that aliens are here and they're real. And you have to believe that the word of God is divine. Yes, there are fallen angels. Yes. Look, even if we see an alien, you have to believe that, as Hebrews 1 says, Jesus Christ is better than the angels. You have to believe that this word is divine, because if you don't, trust me, something else will take the place of the word in your heart. And then it says this, Noah was moved with godly fear. Noah was moved. Noah did not just hear the word. Noah was moved by the word. Noah was moved by the word because as you guys know, the word of God is a seed. It should produce something in you. And we see here that that very word produced a godly fear, a godly reverence in Noah, to the point where he says, okay, let me start to structure my life around this word. Because it's one thing to hear the word of God, and we all do. Every single one of us, I've seen every single face in here at some point. We've all heard this word at some point. But the truth is this, does this word actually go in your heart and make you begin to think through some things, think through why you've done this and why you've done that? Does this word put a fear in your heart, not of man, but of God? So Noah moved with godly fear. He didn't just hear the word of God and say, well, I'll get to it next week. See, we often think that we have more time than we do. We often think that, well, yeah, you know, look, every Christian thinks that God is going to come back, but few live like it. Everybody says, yeah, sure, God's going to come back very soon, because this world is definitely, you know, getting worse and worse, but few have evidence to show for it. And I think about, you know, my life, because just being real, I did not expect to be a pastor, and I thought I had more time. And many of you guys, God is calling you to do something, and you think you have more time. You think that, well, you know what? You think that the countdown starts when you start. No, sir. In verse 3 of Genesis 6, the Holy Spirit says, my spirit will not strive with man. The countdown started before Noah knew anything. So God was looking for a man that would respond as soon as God spoke to him. But many times we are like, well, you know what? God's going to wait on me because he's my loving father. Yes, but he's also a terrible, fearful God. And it says that Noah moved with fear because he knew the one that was speaking to him. So do you move with fear? And here's the thing is, man will always fear something. No matter how brave we think we are, you're either going to fear the word of God or the world. We saw it in COVID, and we might be seeing it here in a few months with this new thing that they got. You're either going to fear the word of God or you're going to fear the world. And there is no middle ground. And then it says this, that Noah, he prepared an ark for the salvation of his family, through which he condemned the world. So Noah's faith wasn't this, well, it's just my faith and I just believe it and I won't tell nobody. No, Noah's faith was loud. Noah's faith was tangible. It impacted his family. People got saved because of him. Noah wasn't like, well, you know what? And we live in a country, in a culture, in a world that says, you believe what you believe, I believe what I believe, just don't be too loud about it. Just don't make too much of a fuss about it. You know, pray to your God, but just do it quietly so that you don't step on anybody's toes. But it says here that Noah condemned the world by his faith. And something that the Holy Spirit impressed on my heart was, it says that Noah, he prepared an ark. Now, once again, we read these stories and we read them quickly because we don't really take time to think, how long would it take for him to make an ark? Historians say that it took him probably 60 to 100 years. A lot changes in 60 to 100 years. Styles change. Scientists come out with new thoughts and new things. And we as Christians, sometimes we think that, you know what, I have to keep up with the world to show that I am not outdated. But Noah knew he heard the voice of God. He did not change. For 100 years, people would mock him. Say, oh, Noah, you're just old school. You still believe in that? You believe that this God spoke to you and you said this? But Noah, he refused to change with the time. And the thing is, we want to prove our value to the world. But get this. The ark had no value until rain came. For 100 years, that ark was worthless until the first drop of rain came. So Noah, he prepared an ark for the salvation of his family. Noah was not lukewarm. And in I don't remember the scripture, but it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Of righteousness. See, if we truly do believe that Jesus is coming back soon, yes, we can preach about love and, you know, all these things that are good and that are the attributes of God. But salvation is about righteousness. Without that lamb slain, there is no salvation. And without that lamb being righteous, that lamb can't be slain for our sins. So we see here that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So Jesus is saying, be ready, be ready, be ready. Don't just say you are ready. Know this word. Understand this word. Believe the word is divine. Don't believe it while waiting for better information to come out from the government. No, believe that the word of God is what it says it is. And even if an angel himself comes and tells you that no, it's not. No, the word of God is what it says it is. Be ready. Allow that word of God to produce godly fear in you. Don't just hear the word of God and say, well, you know what? I'll wait till someone else builds the ark. See, we often think that it's someone else's job to do that hard thing that God has told us to do. I don't want to step on no toes, but I'll go to the church that has all the things for me instead of coming to a church that has nothing and you jumping in and you helping them build. See, we often do this thing where we say, oh, you know what? Yeah, God loves me, so he understands my weaknesses. Yes, he does, but he calls it sin. And he also says, come to me, come to the throne of grace when you need help for your sin, and I will give you grace. So once again, Jesus is saying, be ready, be ready. Don't change with the times. I've called you to do something. For a century, Noah did one thing. People were getting married. Noah did one thing. People were dying. Noah did one thing. People were living their lives, having parties, going up, going down. Noah did one thing. His life was consumed by one mission, one goal. And Jesus is saying, just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the second coming of the Lord. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He's talking to the people in Corinth. And he says, follow me as I follow Christ. And I always found that interesting because, yes, we praise Paul as this great man of faith, but Paul is saying that just like I've done, you can do too. See, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah's faith in God, Noah being ready, saved his family. Some of us are praying for God to save our family, and God is saying, no, you get ready. You be ready. You study, right? Because you don't know when that family member is going to need a word from the Lord. And because you studied, you're ready. But if you don't study, well, you know, you're just going to give them what you think, you know? But Noah here, he was ready. And by his faith and by his life, even his family was saved. So this is what Jesus means by you also be ready. In a world that was building everything but the will of God, God found someone that was willing to build what God wanted. That's what grace is. Grace to labor. Grace to do what God has called you to do. Grace is not just, oh, I'm saved. Grace is, no, I have been empowered to walk in what Jesus Christ has done for me. So we see here that God was looking for a man. God is always looking for man because truthfully, God doesn't have many men. There's a lot of Christians, but God doesn't have many men. God doesn't have people that will simply do what he says to do. So God was looking for somebody and he found that somebody in Noah. And it's interesting because the text describes the days of Noah as beautiful, great, big names, giants, all these things. But God wasn't looking for that. God was looking for just somebody who would say yes to his word and simply follow through. Because they had physical giants in those days. So that means that what Noah did in 60 years, that giant could have done in 2 years. But God is not looking for speed. He's looking for obedience. And that's what Noah had. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I'll close with this thought. Are you ready? Does your life bear witness to the coming judgment that we're going to face? Or are you still caught up in the beauties of the world and the things that the world has to offer? See, Jesus did not say that getting married and being beautiful and all these things are bad, but he's saying that in light of what's coming, in light of this divine instruction that we have called the Bible. See, Noah did not have a Bible. Noah had never seen rain before. Noah did not know about Jesus as we know about him, but he believed that that word was divine. We have so much on our side. We know that he was crucified and he resurrected and he lives forevermore. And we have so much going for us. But yet, sometimes we struggle to believe like Noah did with as little evidence as he had. It had never rained, guys. Just think that through. It had never rained. And God is saying, build something for something you've never seen. So once again, does your life bear witness to the coming judgment, or are you still caught up in the beauty of this world? Because we will have no excuse. We will have no excuse. God is calling us to be ready. God has called you to be ready. He's given you everything that you need to be ready. You have this word. You have a church that preaches this word. On Wednesday, we are in the book of Hebrews. Come and learn why Jesus is better than the angels, than Moses, than anybody that has ever walked this planet. We have to be ready. But being ready is more than saying I'm ready. Being ready is letting this word truly do what it said it would do, which is produce a godly fear in you. And from that fear, actions will follow that will not only save your life, but will save those around you because you will be a witness to the one true living God. Amen? Amen. So let's just take a moment. Just go to the Lord. You know where you're at with the Lord. We can fool man. We can come to church and do all these things and seem like we are ready. But the truth is that only God knows. Only God knows how we view the Word of God. Only God knows if we have let that Word truly sit and produce the fruits of the Spirit. Only God knows. So, Father, we thank you this morning for your Word. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you because before you left, you told us to be ready. And then as you left, Father, you left us your Word and you gave us your Holy Spirit. So, Father, we have no excuse. We have all that we need to be ready. So, Father, help us this morning to allow this Word to enter our hearts. Help us not to be caught up in the beauties of the world. Help us not to be caught up in the things that are changing out there, but to truly believe that your Word is eternal, that it changes not. Oh, Father, help us to see you for who you are. Father, we need to be ready. Our faith needs to grow. Father, we need to grow in you, Lord Jesus, because there are people that you have assigned to us that if we are walking as we ought to, Father, we will have impact for the kingdom. Father, help us to see the bigger picture. We have been called to be ready. For just like it was in the days of Noah, so it is in these days, Father. Help us not to fall for the beauty and the fame and those things that glitter, but help us to have our minds set on something much more precious, which is you, which is your promise. Father, once again, we just thank you. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for the truth. We thank you because you did not leave us without your Word. You did not leave us without your very Holy Spirit. We just thank you, Lord God, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Ike, for that message. And as he was preaching, I kept thinking about when I was a little girl and coming up in church, and the pastor would always say, if you're not ready, then get ready. Well, actually, he would say, if you're ready, then stay ready. And if you're not ready, then get ready. Because once he comes and go and you missed it, you missed it. We've got to be ready. We've got to run to God and ask him to help us walk this walk and pray and stay on our knees. And a lot of people think that they are ready, but they're not. And we got to know without a shadow of a doubt that who we are praising and who God is and who Jesus is. We can't be on the fence and thinking that everything is good, because when he comes and he leaves and be like, did Jesus, where's everybody at? So Jesus, I'm coming gone. You done missed it. We don't want to be like that. So thank you all for coming out today to Christ Unveil. For those of you online, we thank you for joining us as well. For all the mothers out there, happy Mother's Day. Even if you're not a mother, but you have taken care of a child, happy Mother's Day to you, because it is a lot of work. But it's a blessing as well. If you haven't already had a chance to give, we'd like for you to please help and support the ministry so that we can do more things and reach more people. So if you would help us in that, we would really appreciate it. Now, if you would stand, I'm going to get ready to say a prayer and dismiss us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for the ministers that labor and bring us the Word. Help us to run to you, God, and ask us, what must I do to be saved, so that no one gets left behind. We know that there will be many that will reject you, but for those who really want to be saved, Lord, help them to run to you and ask, what can I do? And as they run to you and be saved, God, help them to stay saved. Help them to get in their Word so they can learn of you and what you're all about, the love that you show for us. You died on the cross for us, God, and we should forever be grateful and thankful of that. So I pray that we get ready and stay ready. And if we're not ready, that we start getting ready. I thank you for the offering, God, that we will take up here today. I pray that you would just bless it, Father God, and pour out a window that we will not be able to receive. I pray for those who have it not to give, but really desire to give, and that you would bless them, God, so that they will be able to give. And bless those who have been giving and continue to give. I pray for traveling mercies on the way home. Just watch over us, God, and guide us. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray. Amen and amen. You're dismissed.